the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Imagine with me, if you will, a tourist standing on the beach, facing away from the ocean, pressing a shell against his ear, the water lapping at his feet, the sun beaming down on his head and shoulders, and the waves crashing just behind him. He firmly presses the seashell against his ear, wanting to hear the powerful surge of the ocean as it heaved and rolled. What's wrong with this picture? A man with his back to the ocean, attempting to hear the ocean in a seashell, in the presence of the very thing he was seeking, he was oblivious to the real. Unfortunately, some people are like that. They have difficulty recognizing that they have caught up with what they were chasing. Such persons are always running but never arriving, always searching but never discovering, always looking but never seeing, always measuring. But the numbers never add up. Philip and the other disciples fit that description. Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Here it is in the upper room. The Passover meal has been shared. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, and Judas has left. And Jesus was telling the 11 that the time has come for him to depart. And as we read, Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. If you have known me, you have known my Father also." Apparently, Philip and the others didn't get it. Apparently, Philip and the others had their minds blocked by whatever it might have been. For no sooner than the words were out of Jesus' mouth when Philip asked, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip?" Here we have burning bushes, water from a rock, the Red Sea divided, fiery clouds, tablets of stone, water turned into wine, and the feeding of 5,000 people. And still, they didn't get it. But there comes a time when something more is desired. And that's what Philip proclaimed. "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Where is God when we experience reverses in our lives? That's a question we have all pondered at one time or another. During World War II, the city of London suffered vicious air attacks. A family, father, mother, daughter, son, scattered to bomb shelters for safety. And when the bombing was over, it was discovered that the mother and daughter had been killed. And the father slumped to the ground. And the son wandered around in the dark, blinded by grief. And he gazed up at the sky and, as his eyes adjusted, saw the stars. And the father called to the boy, "What are you doing, son?" With his eyes fixed on the sky, the son answered, "I'm watching God hang out the stars." When devastating reverses occur in our lives, we want to know whether God presides over such things, allows such things, has anything to do with such things, or even if there is a God at all. The little boy knew enough about God to know that whatever had happened, however devastating, God would be there to hang out the stars, to comfort and console, to dispel the darkness around us in our grieving hearts. What a solace it is for the believer who already experience a personal relationship with the loving Father can resolve our questions before reverses occur. That's why moments like we had a few minutes ago with the children are so important, to show them that God is near, that the Father can resolve our questions. The knowledge of the presence of God thus becomes a strength to draw on in times of crisis rather than something to wonder and seek. Where is God when evil is more evident than good? Watching the TV news on any evening, we are struck with the evil that abounds in our world. Each story is worse than the next. We live in some difficult times. Well, let me rephrase that. With modern technology, we are much more aware of the evil in our world, here and throughout the globe. Babies being beaten, women abducted and killed and hidden. Officials ignoring problems, the consequences of which poison young bodies and minds. Terrorists slaughtering innocent civilians with car bombs. Dictators bombing their own people. Wars and refugees. Etc., etc., etc. Evil appears to be more evident than the good. Where is God when evil has its way? Down deep our souls cry out, "Show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Friends, it may be simply a matter of knowing how to look. You may remember in the early days of the space race, one of the Russian cosmonauts left his capsule and floated in space, remarking to his mission control that he didn't see God anywhere. C.S. Lewis has said, "If a man never sees God on earth, he will never see God in space. But if a man sees God here, in the faces of men and women in his daily life, then when you hurl him into space, he will put his hand on the face of God. There's a line in the musical Les Miserables that I just love. To love another is to see the face of God. The eye discerns such an evidence as it is equipped to acknowledge. Evidence that, again, we see on the evening TV news. Like GIs in full combat gear, carrying M16s, handing out soccer balls to children. People digging with their bare hands in the rubble of a bombed building to find survivors. Competitors who just a moment before were running a marathon, stopping to bind up the wounds of those bloodied by two terrorist bombs. In each, I see God working to overcome evil. And where is God when death reaches into our circle? Suddenly, unexplainably, a loved one's life is snuffed out. When I was in seminary, which was so long ago, I wonder how I still remember. One of my fellow students lost an infant son to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. This particular student had not had an easy life. He was a paralytic, confined to a wheelchair because of a war injury suffered in Korea. He and his wife were unable to have a child, so they had adopted this baby. In the day after the tragedy, we discussed what had happened in class. One student asked, "Where was God when the baby died?" I will never forget the professor's answer. God was in the same place, doing the same thing he was doing when his son died on the cross, grieving with those who love Jesus. Grieving with those who love the baby. God is in the hug of a friend. God is in the casserole that a neighbor brings. God is in the work, cleaning the house that a neighbor performs. How comforting to know that God grieves with us. Philip said, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Now, have you ever received an answer in reply to a question which left you feeling incredibly dumb? The sign was there in plain sight. I know I have, and I wish I had not asked. I felt, "What, stupid?" But Jesus didn't reply to Philip that way, although it might have seemed so. He didn't say, "Are you blind, Philip? Have I been with you so long you still did not know me?" No, he reminded him that he who has seen me has seen the Father. Now do you get it? Emmanuel. God with us. God emptying himself, taking the form of a servant. And still, Jesus didn't leave anything to chance. Jesus promises Philip and the others even more help and understanding. He promises the Holy Spirit. In verse 16 he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He will dwell with you and will be in you. Not merely available, but in you. And later in verse 26, he says, the Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Remembrance. In one church I served, we had an elderly lady who had a stroke. And she had to go to a nursing home. She could only say two words. But when we would visit to have a worship service and we sang the hymns, she sang every word. Remembrance. Show us the Father. Friends, don't be like the man standing on the seashore in the presence of the sea, listening for its sound in a seashell. You are in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Experience the power, the joy, the fullness of God right now.
We believe, repeating the apostles.